الفاتحة. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصب حقوقهم من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، السلام على القتيل المظلوم، السلام على أخيه المسموم، السلام على علي الكبير، السلام على الرضيع الصغير، السلام على العترة الغريبة، السلام على النازحين عن الأوطان، السلام على المدفونين بلا أكفان. اللهم ارزقنا في الدنيا زيارة الحسين، وفي الآخرة شفاعة الحسين. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last night I quoted to you the verses of Surah Maidah, in which the severity of the Day of Judgment was shown to us through the verses of the Holy Quran, in which we found that a prophet like Janab Isa ibn Maryam is going to answer questions too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will start from top, bottom. And we will be standing there for waiting for our turns to come. Let's make no mistake that whatever sins or good deeds that we commit, we shall be rewarded or we shall be punished. There is accountability for everything. And as you know, that on the 19th night of Ramadan, when Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, who was in the house of his daughter Kulthum, where she gave him salt, milk and bread, barley bread, you all know he said to his daughter, remove one thing from me, either milk or salt. And when she removed salt, Imam said, remove milk. And then he said something which me and you should contemplate and ponder upon. He said, "Fi halaliha hisabun, wa fi haramiha iqab." Even if this is halal, there is accountability to it. If it is haram, there is punishment to it. There is no accountability then. There is only punishment. Even if whatever that we do is in the way of halal, there is going to be accountability. So long as the accounts are clear, the tax returns are clear, there is no issue whatsoever. But if there is any issue in the tax, the way we bribe here and there, it is not going to happen on the day of judgment. That is not possible simply. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be the person, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be the one who will take accountability. No, nobody else. A very famous incident took place in Mashhad some centuries ago, in which there was a sheikh called Sheikh Ayatullah Ja'far Shustari, a very great marja passed on his time. He used to live in Qom. He once visited the dhariq of Imam Ali Rida alayhi salatu was salam in Mashhad. And when the people of Mashhad found out that a marja is coming, they of course invited him to speak to the people, to get some guidance, to get some advice as to what do we have to do in this world. During those days he was an old man, a frail man. There was no car. So there was a donkey for the transport, where he was brought to the Masjid Gauhar Shad, which is still there in Mashhad. If inshallah ta'ala, may Allah give us the opportunity to visit one day. Everybody were told, there were announcements, advertisements everywhere in the market, that Ayatullah Ja'far Shustari rahmatullahi alayhi is going to speak to the people of Mashhad today. So come in numbers. And as you can expect, that the hall and the mosque was filled with people. The people who brought him on a donkey, when he got down, they felt that he was speaking to the donkey he came out from. He mounted off from. They felt that he was speaking to the donkey, or they felt that he was listening to something. They didn't say anything. Sayyid Sheikh went, climbed on the minbar. After sana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hamd on his prophet, he said one thing, and this is recorded, you can find out in the history books of Sheikh Ja'far Shustari. He climbed the minbar and he said, when I came down off my mount, the donkey I felt spoke to me. It is by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that anything is possible in this world. Let no mind have any doubt on this. Janabi Sulaiman spoke to birds with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, a pious man he was, he said, I felt that the donkey is speaking something to me, is telling me something. What did he say to him? And this is what he said on the minbar. He said, Ya Shaykh, Ana wasaltu hamli ila makani. I have already brought my burden and my load to its place, my load. هَلْ وَسَلْتَ حَمْلَكَ إِلَىٰ مَكَانِهِ. Have you sent your provision to the place it's supposed to go? And it is said that he wept so much on the minbar that he fell unconscious and people had to carry him. There was no lecture that day. Simply because of this fact, that a donkey reminds me and you, that if he has brought his provision to the destination, have we taken our provision in the dargah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or no? In this world, everything that we do is going up. And you know, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi had a wakil by the name of Mufaddal ibn Umar. He was a wakil in Kufa. Once he came to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq to visit him, he sat with him, and Imam said to him something which jolts the minds. He said, Ya Mufaddal, Iyakum wa-Zunub. Because remember, every sin has its consequences, if not in the Akhirah, in this world. Any sin, the way we do good deed, we get satisfaction in the heart. We find that if we give help someone, if we pay for someone's rent, oh, we find satisfaction. The same way, when we do a bad deed, the consequences we can get in this world also. He said, O Mufaddal, Iyakum wa-Zunub, wa-Hazdirha shi'atana. O Mufaddal, beware of sinning. And warn our Shias, the followers and the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, about the severity of sinning and the consequences of sinning. And then he saw Mufaddal's color changing. Janab Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. He saw his color change. And he looked at him and said, Ya Mufaddal, you know why our Shia suffer more when they sin in this world? Mufaddal looked at him and he said, Imam said, لِيُمَحِّصَهُمْ بِذَٰلِكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا لِتَصْفُوَ لَهُمُ الْآخِرَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests them on this world so that their akhirah becomes clear. That is the reason. However, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi says, لَا يَخَافَنَّ إِلَّا ذَنْبُهُ A man should not fear anything but his sins. As far as good deeds are concerned, we are sure we'll get reward. What we should be afraid of is the sin. And one of the sins that is rampant in the society, in the community is, as Imam says, Imam Ja'far Sadiq says, Man kashafa, recite a salawat ala Muhammad. Man kashafa an hijab al-nas, انكشفت عورات بيته سبحان الله العظيم This hadith of Imam Whoever lifts the veil of a brother mu'min or any person in this world Allah reveals the secrets of his house When we see someone is doing a sin It is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He is not sinned against you If a person sins in the eyes of Allah It is between him and Allah It is not up to me to go and tell the people that this guy is drinking, or this man has done zina, or this man is doing riba, or this man is doing that. If we have the courage, we go to this man and say, Brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. Don't do that. Because if we want Allah to hide our sins, Allah expects us to hide other sins too. It is simply, this is how it works. When we go out telling people that this man is a sinful man, He has sinned against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we tell people in the first place? If we have the courage, tell the person himself. If that is, I am not a sinful person too. Otherwise, hide each other's sins. There is no need of going to the world and saying, this man is doing this and this man is doing that. Because if that is the case, the consequence is, Imam says that the secrets of his house will be let out too. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi says, These are the consequences of sins. مَا جَدَّدَ النَّاسُ مِنْ ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا وَجَدَّدَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَلَاءِ Whenever a person renews his sins, Allah renews his bala, his tests, his examinations. And then all we do is, Ya Rabb, when we are in problems, We don't want to have problems, we should not sin. The rest of the tests that the Anbiyas and the Awliya have, we will have them. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, we'll have them. However, the thing to be fearful of is the sins. Allah says in Surah Shura number 30, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ Whatever affliction that is befalling you is because of your own deeds and doings. And this is Qur'an, I'm not saying it from anywhere. From the Holy Qur'an I'm saying this. Walakin at the same time he says, وَيَعْفُ عَنِ الْكَثِيرِ But then he forgives most of them. In the tafsir of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in Majma'ul Bayan, something very interesting. He writes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful, he forgives. He says there are 100 parts of mercy. And this is for our understanding. 100 parts of mercy. Out of which Allah has given only one part of mercy to this world. In a form of a mother. You see how we see our mothers love us. Whatever a mother loves, if a mother loves a child, it is not for anything, not for no returns. Sometimes father may say, he is my investment. But a mother will never say that. The mother will not eat, will feed the child. And this is not the topic. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is incumbent and wajib upon you to obey your parents. Whatever the age, there's no difference. And if they are not dead, remember them by reciting Fatiha on them. He says, it is because of your own hands. And then he says, 100 parts of mercy, one part is with the mother. The rest, 99 parts, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we can weigh and measure the mercy that Allah has. So merciful He is. He says, وَيَعْفُ عَنِ الْكَثِيرُ. He forgives most of the sins. And then He says in Surah Nahl 61, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ مَا تَرَكَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ دَابَّ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to take and to accuse the people for the sins and the zulm that they are doing, there would be no creature living on this earth. No creature whatsoever. But then he says, وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. He gives them respite to a specific time. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. And when their time comes, they will not go ahead 1 hour, 1 minute, or they will not go behind 1 hour or 1 minute. That's it. Time is done. This stuff is finished. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, أيها الناس خلقتم للبقاء وما خلقتم للفناء. You have been created because Allah wants you to remain eternal. He has not created you to finish, to perish. No. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, returning back to the day of judgment, in Surah Hud 105 to 108, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there will be two sets of people on the day of judgment. Two sets. There is no third group. يَوْمَ يَأْتِي لَا تَكَلَّمُ نَفْسٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. The day when it comes, nobody will speak anything except with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌ وَسَعِيدٌ. There will be those who are wretched and evil, and there will be those who are good doers. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ شَقُوا فَفِي النَّارِ لَهُمْ فِيهَا زَفِيرٌ وَشَهِيقٌ. As far as those are concerned who are wretched, they will go inside the fire immediately, no doubt. You know, on the day of judgment, when we will be standing there on the line, Allah says in the Quran that He will tell the angels, bring out the hell. And we will be able to see that hell. And on the other side, He will say, bring out the heavens. And we will be able to see the heavens. As far as those people are concerned who have got bad and evil deeds and they are wretched people, where will they go? Fire of hell. And there inside they will be moaning and groaning, sighing and relieving, whatever that you can think of. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. They will remain in the fire for as long as this sky and this earth remains. إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ رَبُّكَ. Except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, O Muhammad, is able to do anything, whatever He wills. And that is where Mufassirin say, the Ahlul Bayt will come into place. Salamullahi alayhim ajma'in. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سُعِدُوا. And as for those people who have done good deeds in this world, فَفِي الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. They will go straight to Jannah, straight to heaven. They will remain there so long as the skies and the heavens remain and the earth remain. إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ رَبُّكَ. Except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, wants. عَطَاءً غَيْرَ مَجْزُوذٍ. This is an a gift from Allah which is unfailing. Eternal gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as those who are concerned who are good doers in this world. These two sets of people. But then there is a surah called Surah Jathiyah, which in translation of English, which is not always perfect, it is called crouching. Crouching means kneeling. This whole surah, Jathiyah, means kneeling or crouching. And if you look at the translation of crouching in the book, in the dictionaries, it means that you kneel in state of fear or humility. This surah is there in the Holy Quran. However, we get the description of this surah in Surah Qalam, number 42-43. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. There will be that type of people, those types of people in the Day of Judgment, on the Day of Judgment, when they will be told to kneel down and they will be kneeling. May Allah save us from this day. May we not be amongst those people. They will be ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kneel down, and they will be kneeling. And then they will be told, do sajda. This is Quran, huh? They will be told, do sajda, فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. They will not be able to do sajda. Their backs will be steel, solid. They cannot move. They cannot go to sajda. Their heads are bent. فَلَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ خَاشِيَةٌ أَبْصَارُهُمْ. Their eyes will be fearful. تَرْحَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةٌ. ذِلَّةٌ. Shame dripping down from their faces. Allahu Akbar. What day is this? They will not be able to do sajda. And then Allah says, وَقَدْ كَانُوا يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ. These are the people when Allah and when I commanded them to do sajda, they never did sajda to me. They never prayed to me. When they had health, when they were good, when their backs were bending still, when they were told to do sajda, they felt shy. When we went to the airport, when they used to go to the airports in either America or Germany or US or wherever, they saw people around here and there, how should we pray? They will laugh at us, they will say we are terrorists. No, we are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mightiest. These are the people Allah has said. These are the people who were told and called to do sajda to me, but they did not do sajda. They were feeling shy. Remember one thing, this is a hadith which is there even in Tawdhi'ul Masail of all the maraji'. لَوْ قُبِلَتْ قُبِلَتْ مَا سِوَاهَا وَلَوْ رُدَّتْ رُدَّتْ مَا سِوَاهَا. This salat of ours, if it is accepted, everything else is accepted. And if this salat of ours is rejected, everything is rejected. A few nights ago I told you that the closest a man can go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the state of sajda. And this is the situation when these people will be told to do sajda, they will not be able to do sajda. And shame will be dripping from their faces. However, there is another set of people. And we are moving fast. I am reading these verses from the Holy Quran. In this world also you will see there are two types of people who go through examination. There are two types of people who go through examinations. One who pass and one who fail. When they go to get their results, the one who passes wants to show his results to everyone. I've got 7A stars. I'm going to Oxford. MashaAllah. And the one who fails, he wants to hide his examination paper or his result paper. The one who passes runs to the house, knocks on the door, Dad, I passed. Mom, I passed. Let's cut Ambuzi. Let's do Zabiha. Let's do, because I don't want anybody to give nazar to you. Allah, Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, what nazar are we talking about? These two types of people. One who passes the exam, the other who doesn't pass the exam. Whatever his status, he fails, he fails. What can he do? He will not come and show his report in the house. He will hide it. When his mother will say, come and eat food, I'm not hungry. The same situation is going to take place in the Day of Judgment. The same situation is going to take place in the Day of Judgment. Because this place is an examination room. This world is an examination room. Either we pass the test or we fail the test. He says in Surah Haqqa 19 onwards, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَقُولُ هَا مُقْرَأُوا كِتَابِيَهُ. As far as those people are concerned, when they are given the book on their right hand, their good deeds on their right hand, they will run to people and say, here, read my result sheet. They will be running and shouting, read my result sheet, here it is out already. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ إِنِّي أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَهُ. He says that I was sure that there will be a day of judgment and there will be my accountability. He will say that to the people. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. He will be in the most beautiful of the abodes. فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ. In the highest level of Jannah. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوْتَ كِتَابِيَةٍ. As far as that person is concerned who is given the book on his left hand, he will say to himself, how I wish I'd never got this result sheet. وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَةٍ. And I wish I would have never known the results that has come out today. يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَةِ. He says, I wish I was dead and never brought up from my grave. And then he says, مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَا. These properties, this wealth that I used to gather in this world is of no service to me anymore. هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَا. The power that I used to have in this world has finished, is no more, is gone. This is the day of judgment. When there will be only one person or only certain people who we shall go to for shafa'at. And they are none other but Ahlul Bayt, Salamullahi alayhim ajma'in. We find that they tell us, the Imams tell us that your tears that you take out and weep on Imam Hussein can in turn become shifa. They can become shifa too on the day of judgment. How? There was a person, and this is an interesting story that I heard. There was a person whose daughter was very, very sick. She was like dying, very sick, high fever. And the doctor said, take her home, for we cannot do anything to her now. This man brought the daughter home. He was passing by a Husainiya one day, and he heard the majlis of Hussein. He entered inside, he heard the majlis of Hussein, in which the alim was saying that if you cry, and if your tear is dropped, and if you have a tear, this tear can help you cool down the fire of hell. It can cool the fire of hell. Allahu Akbar. He heard the majlis. He was a man confused. His daughter was dying. When the agha finished his majlis, he came down. The man ran to him. He said, can you please repeat that riwayah? He said, I did say that Imam has said that if you weep on Hussein ibn Ali, your tear can be a barrier between fire and you. It can cool down the fire of hell. He is a confused man. He says, tell me, can my tear, if I cry on Hussein ibn Ali, reduce the fever of my daughter? The alim said, it depends on your aqidah. It depends on how you believe. It depends on how you ask. From the next day, he came to the majlis with a small bottle. He heard the masaib of Imam Hussein and all of the other shuhada. The more he cried, he used to gather his tears. One by one, he gathered his tears. 3-4 days later, when he got a bit of tears, he took it home. He went there, his daughter was unconscious, high fever, burning in the bed. He sat down, told Imam Hussein, Ya Hussein, this man has told me in the mimbar that my tear can cool the fire of hell. I am going to give this tear to my daughter. I pray to Allah through your wasila that she recovers. And he fed her the tears. 1, 2, 3 tears. After 3 days, he himself says, I saw my daughter standing up. He says, I saw my daughter walking. Today my daughter is married and she has got children. This is the effect of your tears on Hussein ibn Ali. The fire of hell, there will be a barrier between us and the fire of hell because of the tears that we are shedding on Hussein ibn Ali. And what can we say about Ali Akbar? the young son of Hussein. Some say he was 18, some say he was 26, between this. A young man after all. How do we even condole his mother? How do we even say to his mother, accept our condolences? How? We cannot even imagine the atrocities that these people did on the Ahlul Bayt. But we get in the riwayat that Ali Akbar was brought up by Janab-e Zainab. We get in the riwayat that when they were leaving Medina, the people of Medina said to Hussein, Ya Hussein, leave Ali Akbar, because whenever we see, we feel like seeing the Holy Prophet, we look at Ali Akbar. Because his face resembles the Holy Prophet. He walks like the Holy Prophet. He speaks like the Holy Prophet. He talks like the Holy Prophet. Whenever we miss the Holy Prophet, we see Ali Akbar. Hussein told them, no, he has to come with me. I have to take him with me. They go. On the night of Ashura, you see Umm Layla is sitting with Ali Akbar. Just as Zainab is sitting with Awn Muhammad. Just as Umm Farwa is sitting with Qasim. Umm Layla is sitting with Ali Akbar, just gazing at the face of Ali Akbar. Oh my Ali Akbar, whenever we feel like seeing the Holy Prophet, we look at you. The day comes, the Ashur day comes. He was the first Bani Hashim, Ali Akbar, to go to the battlefield. It is provided, it is to tell the world that Imam Hussein was the just Imam that he was. He didn't send anybody, but he sent his own son to the battlefield. Ali Akbar. He goes to his father, he says, Father, I need to go to the battlefield. The father says, Ali Akbar, I know that this time would come. Go to Zainab and go to your mother for permission. Ali Akbar goes to Zainab for permission, goes to his mother for permission. They just look at him. What can they say? Ali Akbar, is it true that you have come to seek permission to go to the battlefield? Yes, my aunt. Yes, my mother. I have to go. I have to go now. The permission is granted. Ali Akbar comes to Hussein. Ya Hussein, oh my father, I am going. Imam Hussein prepares Ali Akbar for the battle. And then he goes out and he says to the people, oh enemy, look at him. Doesn't he look like the Prophet? Doesn't he talk and look like the Prophet? Oh Allah, bear witness that I am sending someone who resembles the Prophet exactly. Bear witness, oh Allah. Ali Akbar goes to the battlefield. Behind Sakina holds her father. Sakina holds her father and Abbas. Where is my brother going? He is going to the battlefield. He is going to the battlefield. Hussein sees that the son is going. The moment he moves, Hussein goes with him. He goes a step ahead. Hussein goes with him. Suddenly, Ali Akbar realizes something has fallen down. He looks back. He sees his father has fallen down. He comes down from the horse, picks up his father and says, Father, let me go. The father says, I only wish you had a son of your age, and you could have seen how you feel when the son goes to the battlefield. Hussein goes back to the tent. Abbas is sitting with him. Ali Akbar goes. The mother is inside saying, oh Hussein, what is going to happen to Ali Akbar? Hussein says, Umm Layla, Allah accepts the dua of a mother. If you want to see your son, tell Allah to return your son back. Umm Layla goes behind the tent. She opens her hair up. She raises her hands to Allah and says, oh Allah, send my son back to me. I want to see him for the last moment. Ali Akbar, the dua is accepted. He comes back to the tents. He goes to Hussein ibn Ali. He goes to Zainab. He goes to Umm Layla. He goes to Hussein. He says, Hussein, did you see the battle I'm fighting? However, my father, if only I would have had 2 or 3 drops of water, I would have fought a battle that they would have forgotten about. Hussein looked at Ali Akbar, said, my son, why don't you put your tongue in my tongue? And Ali Akbar put his tongue in the tongue of Hussein. He removed it immediately. He said, oh my father, your tongue is more dry than mine. How can I take water from your tongue? The second time they embrace each other, Ali Akbar goes to the battlefield, he fights and he fights. Suddenly, Umar ibn Sa'ad said, surround him, this is the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. They surround him, one person sits behind with a spear in his hand.
He is waiting for the right opportunity. The moment Ali Akbar turned, he inserted the spear right on his chest. Ali Akbar fell on the ground and he said, Ya Atata, Alayka Minni Salaam. Oh my father, this is my last salutations to you. He didn't call Aba Abdullah for help, because how could he? He would have might be thinking that if my father comes and sees me in this state, what will happen? He didn't call him, he just said, Salamun alaykum, O my father. Hussein ibn Ali, as the riwayah says, runs towards the battlefield. As he runs, he falls down. He stands up again, he falls down. He goes, looks for Ali Akbar. Ya Ali, O my Ali, where are you? Suddenly he reaches the place where Ali Akbar is lying down. He sits down, he looks at Ali Akbar, one hand on his chest. Ali, my son, what has happened to you? My father, my chest is hurting. Hussein ibn Ali looks at the son and says, Ya Ali, let me remove this spear. He removes the spear and the gush of blood comes out of the chest of Ali Akbar. He is no more. Hussein looks at the body and says, O children of Bani Hashim, come and take the body of Ali Akbar, for I will not be able to carry it alone.
Ala la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-kafirin. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
صلوات محمد وعلى دیگر بابا دلن صلوات دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان لشکر شام نہ سمجھے گا رسالت کی زبان دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان لشکر شام نہ سمجھے گا رسالت کی زبان نوجوان بیٹے کے لاشے پہ جو شبیر گئے نوجوان بیٹے کے لاشے پہ جو شبیر گئے شکر اللہ کیا دیکھ کے برچی کا نشان شکر اللہ کا کیا دیکھ کے برچی کا نشان او دریا سے سکینہ نے بلایا ہے تمہیں او دریا سے سکینہ نے بلایا ہے تمہیں دیکھو عباس ذرا رخ پہ تماچوں کے نشان آ گئی شام غریباں جو اداسی لے کر آ گئی شام غریباں جو اداسی لے کر خیمہ شاہ سے اٹھتا ہے فضاؤں کا دھواں کلمہ گویوں کی یہ مہمان نوازی دیکھو کلمہ گویوں کی یہ مہمان نوازی دیکھو ایک نبی زاد کو دیتے نہیں بے رحم امان دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان خیمہ گاہوں میں لگی آگ لٹا ہے اسباب خیمہ گاہوں میں لگی آگ لٹا ہے اسباب بیٹیاں حیدر کرار کی بیٹھی ہیں کہاں بیٹیاں حیدر کرار کی بیٹھی ہیں کہاں دشت میں گونج رہی تھی علی اکبر کی اذان درود محمد
کربل کی کہانی جب کوئی بھی سنائے گا کربل کی کہانی جب کوئی بھی سنائے گا سوکھی ہوئی آنکھوں سے سوکھی ہوئی آنکھوں سے آنسو نکل آئے گا کربل کی کہانی جب کو سنائے گا ہر غم ملے گا تم کو آغوش نبا میں کیسی خزا ہے چاہیے زہرا کے باغبان قرآن کربلا میں بکھرا نظر آئے گا کربل کی کہانی جب کوئی بھی سنائے گا اکبر سا نوجوان سینے پہ بر چکھا کے رخ مور دیا کیسے بابا کو منہ دکھا کے کیسے ضعیف بابا برچی کو نکالے گا کربل کی کہانی جب کوئی بھی سنائے گا اصغر سا بے زبان کی زندگی دیکھو آل نبی کے گئے کا کم سن جری تو دیکھو پہلے شہید ہو کر بابا کو بچائے گا کربل کی کہانی جب کوئی بھی سنائے گا دریا تھا سامنے پر آل نبی تھے پیاسے بچوں کو بھی بزانا دیتی رہی دلا سے لو جا رہے غازی پانے ابھی آئے گا کربل کی کہانی جب کوئی بھی سنائے گا خیمے کے در پہ دکھیاں زینب یہ سوچتی تھی غازی کے جاتے ہی وہ چادر کو دیکھتی تھی میری رضا کا ضامن کیا لوٹ کے آئے گا کربل کی کہانی جب کوئی بھی سنائے گا پیاسے گلے پہ جس دم چلنے لگا تخنجر معصوم ہیچ کیوں میں کہتی تھی کوئی روکے کوئی میرے دادا کو یثرب سے بلائے گا کربل کی کہانی جب کوئی بھی سنائے گا تقدیر نے دکھائی کیسی یہ شام غربت لاشوں پہ رو رہی تھی زہرا کی پاک اترا لاشوں کی کون ان کو پہچان کرائے گا کربل کی کہانی جب کوئی بھی سنائے